Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to gather together again for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. We recognize that this provides us with the spiritual insight that we need to have in order to deal with the problems of life that you permit to come our way in order that we might advance in your plan by deploying your power. And as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you now in Jesus' name, amen. In our continuing study of the personal sense of destiny, last time we saw that the personal sense of destiny recognizes that the only power that's useful in the spiritual life is the divine power, because the spiritual life runs only on divine power. Of course, this was Paul's conclusion after his prayer to God to remove the thorn in the flesh from him that God had specifically provided for the purpose of his advance. And of course, we see that in that case, prayer was not the appropriate solution, and God's answer came to him from doctrine, in that he stated that the power of God was strengthened in the weakness of Paul. And of course, the idea there is that, and Paul's conclusion from that was that divine power was the only way that he was going to deal with the problems that he faced and advance in the plan. So your personal sense of destiny is aware of and uses available divine power. Of course, that starts with the filling of the Holy Spirit as we apply the problem-solving devices. Divine power is an absolute and is only available through the portfolio of invisible assets. So basically, we take advantage of all the assets that God has provided at salvation and deploy them. And it's through that system that then we have access to the power necessary to deal with the problems in a positive way. And when I say positive way, it's divine good production. God's perfect plan requires perfect power, and since human power is relative, it's totally unacceptable to God for the function of the spiritual skills. And of course, that's one of the big issues that we have to recognize in the church. And it's one of the more often areas that people fail to recognize. And they attempt to deploy human power in problem solving rather than recognizing that the human power has to completely be set aside. A personal sense of destiny not only recognizes the inclusion of divine power in the spiritual life, but also recognizes the inclusion of divine power in the exit, resurrection, and rapture of the church. And this is where we get the idea that the power of God that's deployed to the church presently in time is available and actually becomes the function of the power of God in the exit resurrection. And we have complete access to that power right now. And it's what we've referred to as resurrection life. And the word for that in the Greek is the Zoe life. 1 Corinthians 6:14 states, "Now God not only resurrected the Lord, but he will also resurrect us through his power. This power that he will resurrect all believers is the only power that counts in life. The power is conveyed to believers through the Word of God when they function under the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit." And of course, it's the Holy Spirit that actually teaches the Word of God that's appropriate to our situation in life and our place in the plan of God. And so, the Holy Spirit is our mentor and teacher and the means whereby the entire system is deployed. There can never be a personal sense of destiny on the flat line of the soul until there's understanding and application of the absolutes of Bible doctrine. Personal sense of destiny never departs from the absolute truth of Bible doctrine and the monopoly of divine power and the function of the spiritual life. And of course, we're tested continuously in this regard. This is one of the major areas of testing in life where we are expected to learn how to deploy God's power rather than our own. And of course, the alternatives are the natural power of the human system, which typically are the arrogant skills and the emotional complexes of sins. Just as the dispensation of the hypostatic union terminated with the resurrection, it was the function of divine power. The dispensation of the church age will also terminate with the resurrection as the function of divine power, per 1 Corinthians 15:23. And here we have the sequence of events for the resurrection, but each in his own order: Christ, the first fruits; after that, those who are Christ that is coming. And of course, that refers to the termination of the church age. But it's actually interesting to note that not only is the church age terminated by the resurrection, but so is the tribulation, and so is the millennium. So each successive age is actually terminated by a resurrection or a variant of one. We have, of course, the rapture, the exit resurrection of the church, which is next in a non-prophesied event. And then we have, at the end of tribulation, at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Mount of Olives, the Old Testament saints and the tribulational martyrs are resurrected. And then at the end of the millennium, of course, you have the resurrection of all mankind that forms up that begins to form up the new heavens and the new earth. So basically each category or each subsequent dispensation will actually terminate with the resurrection. God is perfect, therefore his plan is perfect. And the perfect plan of God for the church can only be functioned under divine power. This means that the use of human power is a contradiction of the protocol plan of God for the church and never a part of the spiritual life. So, and that was what Paul had to come to the conclusion of and what he did with his elative conclusion. In post-salvation spiritual experience, the spiritual life of the church age believer excludes all power and energy of the flesh and functions totally on divine power, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and metabolized doctrine in the stream of consciousness. And of course, the Holy Spirit actually recalls the doctrine into our thinking. That's a major factor we have to always be aware of. The challenge to us, of course, is to have positive listen to the Word in the sense that we expose ourselves to it and then think about it as we metabolize it and make it available, and it's made available for application. But remember, the Holy Spirit's involved in that entire process, making it possible for us to utilize the Word of God properly. This divine power that's involved in the resurrection or rapture of the church is available for your spiritual life right now. So we have the power of resurrection that's available to us today if we choose to utilize it. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 15, we have, "For all things are for your benefit, that the grace impact, which is increased through the agency of the many, that is invisible heroes, may cause the increase of thanksgiving resulting in the glory of God." So here we have the application of grace to experience that ultimately glorifies God. Because remember, God is glorified to the degree that individuals, well, God is glorified, period. But we accrue benefit from that glory if we take advantage of God's grace policy. So the real issue in life is being oriented to the grace of God, recognizing Him as the source. And we understand the principle, though, that even the wrath of man will praise him. So God is glorified either way. But we're the beneficiaries of the process if we choose to have the humility to receive what it is that God has for us. And, of course, that is where ultimately the highest and best is available to be conveyed. In other words, because of God's integrity, he's free to convey it without contradicting himself. Verse 16 goes on to say, "For therefore we do not despair, but though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day." So here we have the constant process of entropy as it relates to our old identity and our status in Adam, but the constant renovation as it relates to our identity in Christ. And so we have the principle that Paul stated that, also, I believe John the Baptist said this, that I must decrease while he must increase. So we have the continuous process of the renovation of our status as the old man decays and becomes less and less a factor, whereas the new man is renewed or renovated day by day. Verse 17, "For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." So here we have faith perception taking over for empiricism. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Which is why, of course, it states that the righteous one must live by means of faith or Bible doctrine, the perception through Bible doctrine. So it's that perception through Bible doctrine that is the means whereby the things which are not seen are perceived. And of course, we have the principle of Hebrews 11, verse 1, where we have faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course, that's the doctrine that makes those invisible realities perceivable by means of faith. A personal sense of destiny uses grace orientation to glorify God. Once you reach a personal sense of destiny, you move into an entirely new phase of the spiritual life called the sophisticated spiritual life, where you use the advanced problem-solving devices of personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Christ. And of course, this is enabled by the believer's confidence in God. Remember, we, at this point, have come to understand the why of it all. And as a result, we have love. Once you understand the why, you have capacity for love. And that capacity for love starts with our love for God, that then becomes parlayed into integrity towards others. Personal sense of destiny separates the status of spiritual childhood from the status of spiritual adulthood. Therefore, a personal sense of destiny is a landmark of the spiritual life. Personal sense of destiny must understand the divine objective and how the protocol plan of God glorifies God in order to be motivated to continue to use the power options and the three spiritual skills. So again, the point here is for us to take advantage of all that God has made available and to utilize it. And of course, that is what ultimately involves the glorification of God. And again, the highest and best that's able to be conveyed to the believer is made possible. One of the biggest distractions to the spiritual life is to become discouraged or despondent. And of course, we saw in this passage, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, all things are for your benefit. You have no need to be discouraged or despondent. What you achieve in this life is meaningless when you are dying or think you are dying. Of course, being discouraged or despondent is a result of having our eyes on people and things rather than on Jesus Christ and not having priorities in the right order. And we have to recognize that ultimately our objective, our eyes have to be on God and His solution. Since not necessarily everything that we think we would want to have happen with people and things are going to. We have to allow God's will to be the issue and focus in on His plan rather than our own agenda. Nothing is as important in this world as Bible doctrine. God has provided every problem-solving device for every problem in life. All things are for your benefit. And when you realize that Bible doctrine is the highest priority in life, you will have real genuine change as you move into spiritual adulthood. So basically what changes here is our priorities. And we begin to reference the eternal realities rather than the temporal realities and make the eternal realities our highest priority. Not that we neglect the temporal realities, because, again, we have responsibilities in those spheres that have to be met. But what we do is we utilize the power of God in those various temporal realities that we have to deal with. So it just sets the priority right, that's all. It doesn't mean that we have less responsibility. We may have more in some cases. You have trust in fellowship and true spiritual change. A personal sense of destiny is not discouraged by any circumstance in life. The decaying body or jar of clay is not the significant thing in life, but the soul, the inner person, that continues to grow spiritually day by day. So again, life in itself has its inherent, with its inherent entropy, where we have bodies that grow old and weak and then ultimately die physically, actually sets us up to be in this plan. And if we have the doctrine or recognize the source of the doctrine, then we have capacity or possibility for deploying the power of God in our circumstances and not being discouraged, regardless of the fact that our outer man is decaying. And of course, that is the natural status of actually everything in the temporal state. The whole universe is in a status of decay, per Romans 8. So we are just part of that, and it's all part of it's an artifact of the fall of man, Adam and the woman in the garden, that basically involves the entire environment that we live in. And so that's a perfect space for God to convey His doctrine of resurrection life, which is so we can have that thinking in our souls, which ultimately becomes our reality, of course, at the moment we're face to face with the Lord. The continual weakening of physical power and energy does not diminish spiritual power. When you have reached a personal sense of destiny, you have locked in spiritual adulthood. So when you have this personal sense of destiny and you have totally oriented to the plan of God for your life, then you have your agenda is set. Now, of course, people make mistakes and they may move away from it briefly, but typically once one is advanced to the point of having personal sense of destiny, it would be a exception for them to leave off from it because of the momentum that had been developed to that point. Your momentum and motivation is far greater and far stronger than anything in life prior to that moment. The power of God advances even though physical power decreases with age. Your health is not an indicator of spiritual status. You are renewed day by day through the consistent utilization of the two power options and the three spiritual skills. Again, these are things that we can function in because they're primarily related to thinking. And there are many things that one can do in the spiritual life that don't require a lot of overt activity. You know, prayer is one of those things that's something that one can devote themselves to in the case of the status of inability to do certain overt things. But there's a lot of things in the spiritual life that are available to individuals because the primary function of the spiritual life is in how we think. No matter how great the suffering of the physical body, the power related to the spiritual life in the soul is infinitely greater than any adversity. This is why Paul calls all of this suffering a momentary light affliction. A personal sense of destiny always looks forward to the eternal weight of glory rather than focusing on the momentary light affliction. And of course, it can only be viewed as a momentary light affliction in light of the plan of God and the priorities of that plan. Obviously, if our whole focus is on the here and the now, then it's not going to appear to be momentary or light. It will be what we're focused on, and so that will be a problem for us. But the whole purpose, of course, of learning the Word of God is for us to orient to the eternal truths that God tells us of and in order to change our priorities. Again, like I said, not shirking our responsibilities, but focusing on the priorities first and then allowing the grace of God to deal with the circumstances that we have to deal with. Personal sense of destiny always emphasizes the eternal state and lives in view of eternity. Personal sense of destiny with its maximum self-motivation enters into sophisticated spiritual life where the believer deploys the sophisticated spiritual life as the major offensive action of the spiritual life. And of course, this is a topic we had a few weeks ago when we were talking about offensive action. Remembering that the primary function of the believer in dealing with circumstances of life is defensive. You know, in Ephesians it discusses the taking up and putting on of the full armor of God. And then standing. And of course the deployment of that armor is the spiritual life. So the offensive action is the simple deployment of the doctrine in our, as the analogy is created with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, etc., the helmet of hope, the shoes, the gospel of peace, you know, the various artifacts of the Word of God as they are taken up and placed in the soul. So that is the offensive action. And then once having done that, then we're to stand because remember, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's. And He's the one who sets us up in the various adversities of life. And we've then run that course that Paul referred to Timothy in his closing book where he said, I have fought the fight, I have run the course. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of life. So Paul understood that the course that he had fought, had run in the fight he had fought were all artifacts of the plan of God for him. So each of us has our own plan that we function in that God has foreordained. And of course that's explained to us in Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship created in Christ for good works or intrinsically good works, divine good production, that God has determined from eternity past. So God foreknew the exact venues that would be the best for us. And so he provides us with those venues so that we have the greatest opportunity to advance in his plan. The objective of the personal sense of destiny is the execution of the protocol plan of God for the church, resulting in the glorification of God, resulting in becoming a winner, believer, and invisible hero. Examples of visible heroes are given in Hebrews 11. Of course, it starts with the concept of faith or doctrine, that doctrine which they believed, being the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Then it goes on to discuss the various visible heroes of the Old Testament as they deployed the doctrine in their souls and dealt with the adversities that God permitted to come their way. Personal sense of destiny has fellowship with God. Fellowship with God is a different kind of life. The execution of God's plan in any dispensation is impossible without fellowship with God. A personal sense of destiny is the mechanics of fellowship with God. So fellowship with God, of course, comes from being aware of the plan of God for our lives. And of course, Jesus told his disciples that we were his friends and that he would disclose to us the things that he was going to do. And of course, that is done in the New Testament epistles, where he explains, where Paul explains in his representation of Christ, the system that our Lord utilized to fulfill the unique mission that he had in his unglorified humanity in hypostatic union. So, as a result, we have fellowship with God, and he, of course, in Revelation 3, states to believers who have decided that they have their own agenda, you know, that he stands at the door and knocks. And, of course, the knocking is simply him reminding us that we've been bought with a price and that he has a call on our lives, and he set us free with the instruction to follow in his footsteps. And, of course, that's the agenda, and that's only possible, of course, with maximum Bible doctrine resonant in the stream of consciousness. So this means fulfilling the objective of the personal sense of destiny is the utilization of God's power. God's plan was never designed to function on human power, human ability, human personality, gimmicks, or anything else related to human dynamics. God called on you to utilize divine power. So each of us, again, has this calling on our lives for the purpose of becoming a witness in the devil's world through our utilization of his power. And that's how we basically represent Jesus Christ, because it's in that utilization of divine power that we represent him, and we then become a witness of him. This means fulfilling the objective is consistent. It's a consistent use of the two power options in the three spiritual skills, and is the only way to develop momentum in the spiritual life. And of course, that's why we have the various adversities that come our way, because the adversities provide the venue for us to develop momentum. A personal sense of destiny is constantly aware of the invisible impact of the invisible hero that functions in five categories. Personal impact, that's blessing by association with anyone related to the mature believer. So this is the impact of the believer on their environment. Historical impact is blessing by association to a client nation. The nation is blessed by the pivot of mature believers who live within it. As goes the believer in the client nation, so goes the nation, historically, economically, spiritually, and socially. So the decline of the client nation is directly related to the disinterest of believers in the Word of God, or possibly even the lack of communication. You know, Jeremiah actually spoke to the priests of his day. And of course, that would have been the Levitical priesthood, who were responsible for the communication of the Word of God. And he basically said that they were responsible to teach the Word, and that the decline of the nation was related to their failure to do that. So even if people have negative volition to the Word, it's still the responsibility of the priests to communicate it. And if people are negative, that's their problem. But the priest still has responsibility. So the same idea goes in the church age with the pastor. and the responsibility to teach the word without regard, whether or not the people are positive, and to teach it, and God will call those who are positive to the individual in the case that, they are around. And if not, then that's just the way it goes. International impact is blessing by association with a non-client nation through missionaries who have reached spiritual maturity. The missionary in spiritual maturity is a blessing to the non-client nation where they serve as well as to the client nation that sends them. And of course, at this point, we are still one of the main purveyors of missionary activity in the world. Angelic impact is the impact of the winner believer as a witness for the prosecution in the rebuttal phase of Satan's imperial trial that is conterminous with human history. And of course, this is the major impact of the believer's witness. It's before the angels and the function in this appeal trial. This is accomplished through the attainment of spiritual maturity through the consistent function of the spiritual skills. And it becomes effective when the believer reaches spiritual self-esteem and enters into spiritual adulthood. Once you have a personal sense of destiny and reach spiritual self-esteem, God's purpose in permitting certain testing and suffering in life is for evidence testing. And so this is where the believer is actually cross-examined with regard to the doctrine that's in their soul. And God provides various kinds of evidence testing. When it relates, that relates to our relationship with Him, testing it relates to our relationship with circumstances. So there's different kinds of testing, all of which are permitted and given to us as we've studied the word parasmos, as it relates to the testing. And of course, the purpose of the testing is to demonstrate approval. So again, the principle is that God does not provide testing beyond what we are able. And His intention is not for us to be destroyed in the testing, rather to be strengthened. So the purpose for the testing, and of course, as we advance in the spiritual life, the testing will get more challenging, but it won't be more difficult, because the doctrine available for that particular challenge is sufficient, and that's the point. So while the testing itself may be a greater challenge, we have the resources, is what it amounts to. God does not ask us to do something that He hasn't provided the resources to deal with. And of course, that is inherent with the situation, because remember, it's divine power that's deployed. So the doctrine that's in our soul becomes the power that is actually deployed in that circumstance. Heritage impact is blessing by association with the mature believer after their death for the loved ones that the invisible hero leaves behind. This explains why the wicked often prosper. It's because that they were the children or grandchildren of an invisible hero. So again, sometimes people have grace blessings accrue to them that they have no idea why they're there. Another result of someone's function in the spiritual life who has gone before them. A major passage on the personal sense of destiny is 2 Peter 3:11-14, where it says, since in this way all things will be destroyed. And of course, this speaks, if we back up one verse, it speaks of the passing away of the present universe. It says, but in the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So that sets the stage for the events after the great white throne judgment, when God is finished with this universe and He's ready to bring in the new heavens and the new earth. So, verse 11 takes off from that statement and says, since in this way all things will be destroyed, what sort of persons must you become in a dedicated to God lifestyle? That is to say, your very own spiritual life. So given this awareness of the plan of God, what are we to do? Verse 12, while looking forward with confidence and hastening the coming of the day of God, which the heavens will be destroyed by burning with elements, and the elements will melt with intense heat. So we have confidence in this, and of course this is looking forward to our evaluation prior to this. A personal sense of destiny includes living your life in light of eternity, per verse 11. And when you start looking forward to eternity with confidence, you have a personal sense of destiny and spiritual self-esteem. Personal sense of destiny relates the spiritual life of the believer in time to his status in eternal state, as described in verse 13, where we have, according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth which in which righteousness dwells. And of course, this was the same promise that we saw that Abraham looked forward to. A city not made with hands. You know, he was looking forward to a time when there was a new heavens and a new earth. That was the promise that he had received from God. And he looked forward to that. A personal sense of destiny relates the spiritual life of the believer to the exit resurrection and the judgment seat of Christ that follows, per 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And of course, that is a function of the spiritual life. How do we remain spotless and blameless? And how are we in peace? By the application of the problem-solving devices. You know, spotless and blameless has to do with acknowledging any known sin. Remember the principle of 1 John 1:9, you know, He forgives us and purifies us from all wrongdoing. Well, that's spotless and blameless. So we're simply living in our lives in view of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And in taking cognition of exactly what it was that he accomplished there by dealing with the issues of the fall of man. And we're just living in light of that reality. And of course, that not only provides us with the basis for an experiential relationship with God or fellowship, but it also provides us with the peace that we need, the tranquility of soul that we need to have that relationship. So we are confident before him because we understand that it's not us that has done anything. Rather, it's he who's done it all. But we're simply taking advantage of it. So we are, in essence, parlaying our position into our experience. And, of course, that's the essence of the spiritual life, is simply parlaying our position into experience. That's the definition of experiential sanctification. Because, remember, we have all these things in position at the moment of salvation. They are part of the 40 things that are conveyed at that moment. So a distinction must be made between having a destiny and the fulfillment of destiny. Every believer has a destiny because of positional sanctification. This is related to the baptism of the Spirit, whereby every believer is entered into union with Christ and shares the destiny of Christ. So there's your destiny. And every believer, whether or not they know it, has this destiny. Every church age believer. It's an integral part of their identity in Christ. And that's wrought by the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. So anytime anyone believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they have this identity and this destiny, whether or not they do anything with it. But having a personal sense of destiny requires experiential sanctification that only occurs as a result of understanding God's plan for your life. So at this point, you've actually taken your position and parlayed it into your experience. And of course, that's done only through the mentorship of the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine. Because we know nothing. As new babies in Christ, at the point of being born again, we know nothing of this. We simply have been convicted of the truth of the gospel. That's it. And that work there is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit as well, in common grace. So the challenge, of course, to a new believer is to find the information where they can be taught. Find a local assembly where they can receive the information. That's all. Or a pastor who's communicating it via some technological means where that information can be learned. The experience of cognitive self-confidence from maximum doctrine in the soul is classified as having a personal sense of destiny. Cognitive self-confidence results in the experience of a personal sense of destiny. Of course, this is, cognitive self-confidence is simply where the believer has come to know the purpose of God for their lives. You know, what are they supposed to do with it, with their life, while they're left on this earth, having been saved? That's all. So they are learning that the purpose is simply to deploy the power of God in the various challenges that God permits. Prosperity and adversity, in both cases, require doctrine. So many times, you know, we often view adversity as being the major form of testing, but truthfully, the majority of people who fail testing fail in prosperity because their priorities are, their heads are turned to the prosperity. And so the prosperity then becomes their objective rather than the source of the prosperity. And of course, that's a problem because it takes them away from the real purpose of life. And of course, that was the test that the Laodicean believers failed, is as described in Revelation 3. Because they thought they were rich and had everything, and yet, and they were rich, but they weren't rich in the things that were important. So they, as a result, were going to come under great adversity as a result of their negative volition towards the source of the true prosperity. While every believer has a destiny under the protocol plan of God and the unique features of the church age, not every believer actually attains that destiny through the execution of the protocol plan. So again, so that's the point of contingency in our lives. This is where our volition comes into play in our actual taking advantage of what God has done. So again, at the point of salvation, remember, you have complete equality. The only place that true equality exists is at the point of salvation for church age believers. And that's where we have this new identity as a new spiritual species, where there's no Jew, no Greek, so there's no national or racial distinctions. There's no gender distinctions. There's no socioeconomic distinctions within the spiritual life. Now, there are outside, but within the church and within the plan of God, there's complete equality at that moment. Because remember, we're talking divine power and God the Holy Spirit being the agency of advance. So since you have equality at that point within the spiritual life, then volition comes into play. And as soon as volition comes into play, there's inequality because each has different volition. So perfect equality inevitably causes inequality. So there's no equality in the end. The end game is complete inequality, which is why Paul describes believers in the eternal state as the stars across the heavens in the various categories of brightness. You know, so the stars who took, in the analogy, which isn't perfect, but the idea is that believers who took more advantage of the grace of God and had more positive volition more continuously towards the plan of God are going to have greater glory. So they will have received greater glory from God. So God is glorified regardless. But they will have received, because of their positive volition, greater glory. Only through post-salvation renovation of the thinking from metabolized Bible doctrine that leads to cognitive self-confidence related to your politeuma privileges can you have enjoy the personal sense of destiny in all circumstances of life. And, of course, the politeuma has to do with the assets and privileges associated with being a citizen of heaven, which is what occurs at the moment of salvation. And knowing it, you know, being who you are and recognizing that identity and then taking advantage of it. The personal sense of destiny is a problem-solving device that's designed for the perpetuation of spiritual momentum. Continuation of momentum results in becoming a winner and an invisible hero, where a personal sense of destiny receives its fulfillment. So again, as you advance in the plan, you become that winner, or the Nike believer, as it says in the translations in Revelation 3, you become the overcomer, the Nike, or the winner. Having a personal sense of destiny aids the believer in passing the three categories of suffering for blessing. In spiritual adulthood, providential preventive suffering, momentum testing, and evidence testing. And of course, these are forms of adversity that are provided for us for our advantage. You know, this is precisely the categories of suffering for blessing that Paul was praying would be removed. And of course, that was where he ultimately came to that elative conclusion that your power is deployed most greatly when my power is reduced. So he recognized that the issue was the power of God. And his willingness to suffer in the weakness that God had placed him in order that God's power would be deployed. A personal sense of destiny is the experience of being a winner and an invisible hero, a believer who has attained spiritual maturity. A personal sense of destiny is a thing that carries winners in times of great adversity and historical disaster. So when you have it, of course, when you understand the personal sense of destiny, you recognize that there's nothing in historical disaster that prevents the conveyance of God's highest and best. So historical disaster isn't an issue, because you have an identity in association with Christ. And while that historical disaster may well be the source of adversity, it isn't limiting God. Because nothing limits God. He's always able to provide exactly what he wants to provide when he wishes. So the issue is simply being aware of what his plan is and being willing to live in it. Under the protocol plan of God, every believer has a destiny. But to know it and to understand it and have the confidence that goes with it is the experience of having developed the personal sense of destiny. So again, you go from having it to understanding it. And again, that goes back to the principle that I've spoken of often with regard to this, and that has to do with the why. Why is it that these various things must happen? For believers to fulfill their own unique destiny, there must be a cognition of Bible doctrine for the fulfillment of your destiny, which is the execution of the protocol plan. Under the protocol plan of God, every believer has a destiny, but rejection of doctrine or apathy towards doctrine and distraction or preoccupation with pleasure destroy the possibility of ever fulfilling that destiny and therefore of having a personal sense of destiny. Having a destiny is not enough. You must fulfill that destiny through consistent perception of Bible doctrine. The believer must reside inside the divine power system under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit with momentum from metabolized doctrine. So again, it simply revolves around staying within the plan and applying the problem-solving devices, you know, that come after rebound. Persistence and consistency in the plan. Consistent positive volition is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ that's revealed in the Word of God, results in the attainment of spiritual adulthood, and the experience of having a personal sense of destiny. This means that consistent and persistent exposure to the mystery doctrine of the church. And of course, that means a believer has to understand what doctrine applies to them that's in the written word. What applies first? Again, it's all for our benefit, but there's a priority with regard to its importance. Having a personal sense of destiny in spiritual adulthood is the prerequisite for the fulfillment of that destiny through the attainment of the spiritual maturity under the principle, if God doesn't promote you, you're not promoted. Of course, that's one of the tests that comes along, is the promotion test. Are we willing to wait on God for our promotion? God promotes the prepared believer. The prepared believer is promoted by being manufactured into an invisible hero. The material from which that invisible hero is manufactured is made up of metabolized doctrine. So we have the process of doctrine being manifested in us as after it's been manufactured. And of course, it's that manifestation that glorifies God. That is our witness. Part of being prepared is to have a personal sense of destiny from the cognition of the mystery doctrine of the church age. Personal sense of destiny comes through the perception of Bible doctrine under the fulfillment of that destiny comes through the application of doctrine once it's been metabolized. So again, we perceive, and then we understand and we apply. So you have the PMA idea there in the whole process. So application involves the believer being actually able to function in that identity with the personal sense of destiny. The church age believer must learn the content of the portfolio of invisible assets. You cannot use what you do not understand. You'll never understand what God has provided for you apart from the mastery of the mystery doctrine of the church. The mystery doctrine of the church orients the believer to God's purpose, plan, and will for life in the church age. And of course, that's the priority. It's not a ritual plan. It's the protocol plan. Having a personal sense of destiny requires that you understand what God has provided for you under logistical grace. The entire content of the portfolio of invisible assets, your polytum of privileges, your equal privilege and equal opportunity under God's plan, and the problem-solving devices. And once you begin to utilize and function in the 9 problem-solving devices, you begin to acquire a personal sense of destiny. And of course, again, the 9 problem-solving devices are those problem-solving devices after rebound. In other words, you're functioning under the filling of the Spirit on a persistent and consistent way. Again, not that you don't use rebound when necessary, but again, the more doctrine we have in our soul, the more time and the more accurate our evaluation of our situation. I mean, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11 that if we judge ourselves, we be not judged. So the point here is for us to analyze our situation from the doctrine in our soul and then make the appropriate adjustments prior to needing the problem-solving device of acknowledging sin. So you perpetuate the plan, that's all. And you make it the way that you live as opposed to running off the course and then having to get back on. So you're persistent and consistent in actually functioning within the faith rest process. In time of historical disaster, a personal sense of destiny is a fantastic thing to apply to the daily circumstances of life. Of course, a historical disaster provides a built-in venue for its application. Personal sense of destiny becomes motivation to be consistent in the reception, retention, and recall of Bible doctrine. Personal sense of destiny is related to the 10 factors of the unique factors of the church age. When you recall any factor related to the baptism of the Spirit, whether it's being a new spiritual species or sharing everything our Lord has because of your union with Him, you can conclude in time of adversity that you have a personal sense of destiny. Or you can conclude that because of the unique protocol plan of God, I have a destiny. Because of the unique equality factor of the protocol plan, you can say, I have a destiny. You can conclude because of my portfolio of invisible assets provided by God the Father for me in eternity past, I have a destiny. You can reflect. Because of the 2 unique royal commissions, I have a destiny. Because I am a royal priest, and because I am a royal ambassador. Or because of the unique mystery doctrine of the church age, you can say you have a destiny. Or because of the indwelling of all 3 members of the Godhead, you can say I have a destiny. Or because of maximum availability of divine omnipotence, you can say I have a destiny. Or because of living in a dispensation of no prophecy, but in a time of historical trends, you can say I have a destiny. Or because I am commanded to advance to maturity and become a winner and an invisible hero, I have a destiny. See, these are all things that are part of our portfolio that are available to us and are part of the plan. So there's no reason why you should not be aware of the fact that you have a destiny and learn how to enjoy the experience of having your very own personal sense of destiny. So we'll conclude here. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word. And for the confidence it gives us in your plan, and the more we are aware of what you've done for us and our identity with Jesus Christ, we have capacity in our souls to deal with whatever it is that you permit to come our way because we know it is for our good. Help us to recall this and apply it as we face those challenges, and we ask that you would bring us back safely next time. We ask this, thank you now, in Jesus' name, amen.